Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're talking about the release of the Spirit. You are a spirit being. You live in a body. You have a soul. Your soul is made up, your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality. And many times people go through their entire life never yielding to their spirit. I'm talking about Christians. They go through their entire Christian life just leaning and relying and depending upon what the Bible refers to as the outer man. The outer man, that's the part of you again that is the soul and the body. And so we don't want to be led by the outer man. We want to be led by the inner man, which now in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The Bible says that if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we know that it's talking about the inner man. Because we know that you didn't get a new do when you got saved, right? You didn't get a new face. You didn't get a new body when you got saved. You didn't get a new personality. Those things still remain the same. But the part of you that's a new creation, that all things have been made new about you, is talking about the inner you. The inner you is new in Christ. When you come to Jesus, make him the Lord of your life, man, the greatest miracle that can ever happen in a person's life takes place. That person is born again. They're made a new creation. And so a part of that creation is the very life of God, the life of God that man got separated from in the very beginning when he sinned. But now through Jesus, the sin has been taken away, and now we've been rejoined in our spirits with the Holy Spirit, with the very life of God. And that life of God is eternal life, which is an unceasing, absolute fullness of life. And so now you have eternal life. Eternal life began for you the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life. That eternal life was placed inside you, the new you, the inner you that you are. So now we want to get to know the inner us. We want to get to know ourselves according to the inner man, according to the Spirit. And we want to be led by the Spirit of God and live this eternal life, even in this life right now. And Jesus, this is exactly what he's talking about over in John, the 12th chapter. So let's go there tonight. John chapter 12. This has been our text in this series. And Jesus said in verse 24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So the grain of wheat that Jesus is talking about there is not just himself, but he's talking about you and I, because we see that in verse 25 when he says, "He who loves his life will lose it." And we know that the life that it's talking about there is the life of the outer man. And that outer man, again, is your carnal mind, your carnal reasonings, and it thinks it can do just fine without God. And that's why we have to take charge from the inside. Lay hold of our thoughts, lay hold of our personality, lay hold of our emotions, and not allow the outer man, or we can also refer to it as the flesh, not allow the flesh to control our life. We want what's in us to dominate us. We want it to flow up out of our life. We want to live life according to the inner man. So just like a grain of wheat has an inner part that inner part of that seed, that grain of wheat, has an inner part, and that's where the life is. And then there's an outer shell. You and I have an inner part, an outer shell. It's the outer shell that needs to die. Not literally physically keel over and die, but it needs to die to self. It needs to cease being able to live life independently of our spirit. And this is a process. When you got born again on the inside, that was instant. I mean, that was an immediate miracle that took place. You believed on the Lord Jesus. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. You gave your heart to him, and wham, immediately a miracle took place on the inside of you. God took out the old stony heart, put in there a brand new heart. Took out there an engine that was blown. You know, just like in a vehicle, you know, somebody blows their engine. It's smoking. It's a mess, you know, and they're just kind of chugging along, you know. The engine is shot, you know, as we could say. Well, that's what we were before we got born again. But thank God, when we made Jesus Lord, God went in there, took the blown engine out, put a brand new engine in us. Hallelujah. So now we got to get fueled up with the word. We got to constantly be feeding on God's word. That's what keeps your engine running. You can have a perfectly good engine, but you don't put any gas in the car, the thing ain't going to take you anywhere. Right? Engine's just going to, it's just not going anywhere. So we want to make sure that we are fueling that engine. And we got to check our oil. Make sure that we're full of the Holy Spirit. Because he's likened to oil in the word of God. So we need the fuel of the word of faith, the word of God, and we need the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need to be a fellowship of him, keep ourselves filled with the Holy Spirit. That keeps your engine running. But now we still have the outer man that still wants to run things, that still wants to react to outward things that are taking place in the world around it. You know, you got all kinds of things going on in life, things calling to you, things pulling on your flesh, pulling for your attention, pulling for the flesh's attention. Notice over here in Matthew chapter 16. I want to show you an example. I just saw this morning. I was just reading the word, and this jumped out to me. I was reading it actually from the New Living Translation, and it shows right here this outer man doing things independently of the inner man. We see it right here with an example between Jesus and Peter, the Apostle Peter. Matthew 16, verse 23, and I'm actually going to read it from the New Living Translation. Jesus turned to Peter and said, well, let me back up, and I don't have the whole thing here, so I'm going to start off in the New King James Version. In verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So Peter now is rebuking Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." So Jesus said, "This is what's going to happen to me." Peter said, "No, it is not going to happen to you." All right? So that's not good. Correcting the Lord like that is not very smart. Huh? And it's very interesting because if you go back here just a little bit, Peter just got commended by the Lord because Jesus just asked the question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And some say, well, some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. And some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah the prophet. And then Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter rose up and he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." See, that's right there you can learn something. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So in other words, this is an outward knowledge that you've received from an outward source. This is revelation knowledge that you've received inwardly from the Spirit of God. So Jesus is saying, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So even tonight as we're sitting here, we shouldn't just be looking to hear from man or just read scriptures in the Bible. We should be listening to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Listening not just with our physical ears, but listening with our heart. You say, how do you do that? You come with a desire to know God. You come with a desire to understand Him, want to please Him, want to walk in His plan for your life and not do your own thing. You want to do the will of God. You come with that kind of heart. You come hungry like that, and that puts you in a position to receive revelation from God, where God is taking what's being preached, God is taking what is being read out of His Word, and He Himself is personally speaking it into your spirit's ear. He's speaking it to your inner man, and that's called revelation, when you hear from God with your heart. There's a lot of things we hear with our head, but we don't want to just hear with our heart. Head, we want to hear with our heart, right? We want to hear. And, you know, just like when you look at the Word of God, you got to look at it as the Word of God, the written Word, is just a tool. It's a tool that God has given us to put us in position to be able to hear from God with our heart. So as you're reading the Word of God, you're putting yourself in a position for God to speak things, reveal things to your spirit. So He causes this written word to become a living word to your spirit man. And we want to live life like that. That's what Christianity is all about now. Like I said, Jesus didn't just come to take away our sins. He came to restore us to His spirit, to His life, to give us eternal life so that you and I now can be led by Him in life. We can be led by Him. We can hear from Him. We can be in communion with God Almighty all the time. All right? And of course, He had to remove sin to put us in that position again. So thank God we're in that position. Now let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make sure we're looking to hear from our Heavenly Father. We're looking for His approval in everything. We're not settling for the approval of man. We're not just trying to make people happy. We want to make God happy. We want to know that we're pleasing to Him. So, therefore, we're going to feed on His Word. We're going to get in the Word of God. And we're going to want to hear from Him. And He will speak to us. Because Jesus said, if anyone wants to do His will, the Father's will, he will know concerning doctrine. He will know. God will teach you. God, He says, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. Now, that's a guarantee. So, we should be able to approach Him in complete faith, knowing God will speak to me. If I come hungry, I come desiring, I need to know, I want to do His will, I'm going to find it. I'm going to know His will. Hallelujah. So, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So now Peter's thinking, praise God. You know, he just got commended in front of the other disciples. He's feeling really good about himself. And so now Jesus says some other things, and suddenly now he's smarter than Jesus. I mean, after all, he heard from the Father. So he hears from the Father now. He's spiritual. Peter is very spiritual now. So he knows more about what's going to happen to Jesus than Jesus. It's amazing how that can work, isn't it? You know, there's some people you can't even praise. You can't compliment too much. It can destroy them if they're dominated by the outer man. But we don't want to be dominated by the outer man. We want to be dominated by the inner man, and the inner man is humble. The inner man is humble. The outer man is where the pride is. So verse 21 says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Now, let me read that in the New Living Translation. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view. That just jumped out to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view. We can just see things in life merely from a human point of view. But that's not right. In fact, it's satanic. It's satanic to just see things from a human point of view. Is satanic. That's the kind of thing that Satan inspires in people. Right? Because he's saying, Jesus here is talking. He's not talking to Peter. He's talking to Satan. He's talking to the source of these words. So he says, you are dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. So there's a way that seems right to who? To man. But it leads to death. So, you know, there's a lot of ways of man. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about a lot of things. But you and I now are dying to the opinions of man. We're dying to giving our own opinion because we want to know what's God's plan, what's God's will. The Bible says there's many plans in the heart of man, but the counsel of the Lord is what will stand. He will counsel us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He'll check us on things and help us to see that we're going the wrong way. He'll help adjust us and keep us on the right path in life. If we'll listen with our hearts, if we have a heart for God, if we're just doing religious duty, if we're just trying to put in the time with God to try to earn his favor, which you can't do, then our hearts are not open to hear from him. So we want our hearts open to hear from him. And this is very interesting. Because Jesus goes on. Now, verse 23, he says, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. And then flows right into this. Verse 24, New Living Translation. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Give up your own way. Give up your own life. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, and again, the life it's talking about there is this outer life, your life. Remember, we don't want to live according to our life, according to our plan, according to our reasonings. We want to live according to God's eternal life, to that unceasing absolute fullness of life, that abundant life. That's the kind of life you and I want to live now. So we don't want to hang on to our own life. We don't want to hang on to that fleshly life. We want to live a spiritual life. How many want to live a spiritual life? So we don't want to hang on to our own life. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up. Everybody say, give up. Give up your own way. Give up. Surrender. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. In other words, it's going to mess you up. And you're going to miss real life. You're going to miss out on that abundant life, that eternal life that God's got for you. A lot of folks don't realize this. It's like they're forfeiting such an awesome life in God for the things of this life. For what they feel would make them happy. For what they feel would give them excitement. Things that they feel would make them feel successful about themselves. And people hang on to these things. And the reason why they do is because they don't have faith that there's another whole life that's a whole lot better than this carnal, fleshly, natural life that you can live in your own strength. And when you get faith, when you hear what the Spirit of God is saying, when you understand what Jesus died to give you and is placed on the inside of you, when you have faith in that, then you are able to rise up and you're able to let go. Give up. Give up your plan. Give up man's plans. Give up what you want according to the flesh. See, people don't give those things up. They cling to those things. They hang on to those things at the expense of eternal life, at the expense of the kind of life that God has for them. And the reason why they do is because they just don't have faith that if they'll let go of that, if they'll let go of that, if they'll give that up and take hold of the Lord, take hold of Him, which could be like taking hold of a cross, taking hold of some suffering. There's some suffering involved sometimes in letting go of the things of the flesh. Sometimes there's some suffering. Sometimes there's withdrawals. And I'm not just talking about drugs. It could be a whole host of things. It could be people. People can have people withdrawals. Relationship withdrawals. They can have dream withdrawals. They've had this dream of what they're going to accomplish and what they're going to do in life. And now they realize it's all vanity. It's not what God has for them at all. He's got something a whole lot better. And now they got to die to that dream. That dream has to die. It has to die. There's things that have to die. And sometimes there's some suffering involved in that. The Bible says, he who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to lose your hand than your whole body to be thrown into hell. We can say it this way. It's better to lose your hand than or your arm or whatever than to lose out on God's eternal life. Yeah, there's some. He's not literally saying cut your arm off. He's not literally saying take up a wooden cross. But sometimes there is some suffering. There's some suffering involved in pressing in and taking hold of God. There's some sacrifice involved. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's really nothing. Because it doesn't last very long before next thing you know, you're experiencing resurrection life. You're experiencing the God kind of life. It don't take very long. I've had several things in my life. I mean, it's a bloody path back there. There's a lot of dead things, man. A lot of dead things strewn out in the path of my life back there. And I remember, you know, I had to die to a relationship one time. The Lord had called me on to go to Bible school, to leave New York. And I was in a relationship that was, it was like an addiction. You know, we always wanted to be with each other and hang out with each other. And I knew the Lord was calling me to go, and she couldn't go. And I thought for sure this would be the end of that relationship. How can I go out to Oklahoma and she stay in New York and this relationship survive over 2 years? It ain't going to happen. But I knew what God called me to do, and I had to die to it. I had to die to the relationship. It was painful. Leading up to it, there was so much suffering involved in the soul, the emotions. My flesh was screaming, what are you doing? My spirit knew exactly what it was doing. And I just kept moving forward with God's plan. And then the day came where that was it. It was early in the morning. And I was going one way and she was going to go the other. And I got in she got in the car. And she went the other way. And I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die, my Lord. I thought, pain, emotional pain that was tangible. It was pain. I was sick. I felt sick. And I said, Lord, I was on the floor. I said, it's like the Garden of Gethsemane. It was, man. It was the cross. It was the cross. I was taking up my cross. And I was dying. I was dying. I was nailed to the thing. I was committed. She drove off. It's done. I'm nailed to it. It's done. I felt like I was going to die. I said, Lord, you got to help me. I opened up the Bible. I went to the Garden of Gethsemane in the Bible. I started reading about Jesus. And then at that time, I was staying at my parents' house, you know. And so I went upstairs to the room because, you know, they said goodbye to her. And they all went back to bed. And I went up there and I looked and they're just sleeping. And I thought, could you not pray with me for an hour? I mean, it was, Could you not pray with me for an hour? It was just like that. I said, it's just like the garden. So I ran back to the Bible, you know, and I just looked at Jesus again. I thought, my Lord, I'm following Jesus. And then all of a sudden, this peace came that surpasses all understanding, and the pain was gone. It was gone. I was off the cross. It was done. I was okay. I felt good. I was so supernaturally comforted by God. Hallelujah. It was an awesome breakthrough. The relationship didn't split apart because of strife, and we hated each other, and we couldn't stand each other anymore, and my God, thank God she's gone. It broke apart because I had to obey God, and she wasn't in that plan at that time. But now, thank God, she's in the plan. Hallelujah. Thank God she's in the plan. Praise God. I got my Isaac back. I laid her on the altar, man. I took the knife and I let it go. And then, praise God, I left my heart in San Francisco. I mean, in New York. And now, praise God, hallelujah, it's been resurrected. The whole thing got resurrected. It's a miracle. Then there's other things. There's littler things in life, you know. I remember when I sat down to, you know, I'd gotten saved and I was so hungry for the Word of God, I just couldn't wait to get home and get in the Word. And I just was excited to get from work, get in the Word, and I came home, still living in New York, newly saved, you know. And I came home, turned the TV on, at the same time I turned the lights on. That always happens. It's just kind of you turn the light on, you hit the remote. I don't know which one comes first, but TV on. Lights on, and I'd start making myself something to eat and watch a little TV. I thought, well, I'll just watch a little TV here while I eat my dinner, and then we'll get in the Word and things. And there was a radio program that taught the Word. Of course, a lot of it was complete error, but I didn't know it at the time. And so, you know, so I was going to enjoy that. I was looking forward to that. And next thing I know, I'm sitting in front of the TV all night and flipping stations, and finally the whole night's gone. I'm exhausted. The whole night just left. Oh, goodness, man. I just blew the whole night away watching this nothing, just watching TV, nothing. Felt bad, just felt ugly, felt just stupid. So I thought, that ain't going to happen again. So the next night I walked in, TV and the lights at the same time, and I'm just going to watch a little just while I'm eating. And, of course, the food, I was finished with the food, but the TV kept going. And so the whole, you know, there I was. I was pinned to the TV, and it was happening night after night after night after night. Finally, I looked at the TV, and I said, you got power. And I said, I'm not going to watch you for a week. You're not going to control me. And I got up and said, I'm not going to watch you for a week. And I pulled the plug out of the wall. And a part of me went, oh. Today it would be likened to an iPhone. Can I take your iPhone for a week? And we're starting to feel it now. Can I take your iPad just for a week? Your cell phone. So then, the next thing you know, the next night I come home, and there just a reaction, lights, remote, nothing. I look back there, I unplugged it. I mean, that's how you're so addicted to stuff like that, I mean, even after all that, here I'm ready to do it again. Forgot I even unplugged the thing. Well, thank God, you know, I was able to have dinner, get in the Word, enjoy. I just had a great time. Then I was getting so much revelation, just having a great time. Next night, same thing. Next night, at the end of the week, I was having so much fun. I looked at the TV. I said, I'm not going to watch you for another week. What happened? I died. The outer man died to its addiction. But it needed to be crucified. A decision needed to be made to say, you're not going to control me. The spirit man could not do what it wanted to do because the outer man had such control. And there's been plenty of things since then where, you know, I remember there was a certain drink I used to drink, and it was called Fortune Delight. And it was a real energy booster of a drink, you know. And I'd have that every afternoon, you know, because, you know, in the afternoon after you have lunch, you get your stuff in a little bogged down. And I'd mix me a little Fortune Delight, and it was all natural. It was very good stuff. It was herbs and things. And I'd drink that, and it just made me feel great. So I was just doing that all the time. If I went on a trip or something, I mean, Fortune Delight. Is the Fortune Delight packed? Okay, thank God. Fortune Delight is there. And then all of a sudden, one day I went up to the Fortune Delight and I got this in my spirit. It was just this And I thought, surely it's okay to drink the Fortune Delight. And it just had this ugly feeling on the inside. So I didn't do it. So then the next time I went to go make a Fortune Delight, out of nowhere. I wasn't feeling it beforehand. But as soon as I went to go make a drink, all of a sudden I felt it. There it was again. It's like somebody just punched you right in the stomach. On the inside, something on the inside was going, it didn't want me to do it. And I heard that. I felt that. You know, just, it was almost like it was tangible. It was like a physical pain, but it wasn't physical. And I felt it just constraining me to not do it. Something constraining me. So finally, after a while, it kept happening. I said, okay, that's it. That's it. No more Fortune Delight. I stopped drinking it. And then after a time went by, I hadn't drank in a while, I thought, I'm sure it's all right to drink a Fortune Delight. I saw a packet. I picked one up, mixed it. As soon as I mixed it, I was like, okay, we're done. Fortune Delight's done. Because I was walking around saying, oh, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might with the help of Fortune Delight. So Fortune Delight was rising too much in influence and power in my life. God probably didn't like that. I was kidding around saying that. I said, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might and with the help of Fortune Delight. So the outer man was dependent upon it. He was dependent upon it. And so it had control in that area, and I needed to die to it. The outer shell needed to be broken of that. It needed to be broken of its dependency upon that thing. No, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, period. Without Fortune Delight, I can do this. You see? And so on and on and on, there are times in our life the Lord's going to show us. Come on now, I want to move you on into deeper things. I want to take you on further in the things of the Spirit. I want you to grow in this eternal life. I got bigger and better things for you. So come on, let's go. Now, you're going to have to let go of this. You're going to have to lay aside that in order to be able to walk now in more of this abundant life. And that's where many times people's countenances fall. Pastor, I liked this word until now. The rich young ruler, right? Remember him? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have this unceasing, absolute fullness of life? And Jesus looks at him and says, well, you know what to do. You know, do the word. I've been doing the word since my youth. Well, Jesus perceived. See, he perceived something immediately by the Spirit. And the Bible says, Jesus looking at him, loving him. So Jesus wasn't trying to be mean to him. Looking at him, loving him, wanting the best for him. You want eternal life? I want you to have eternal life. He said, if you want perfection. How many people want perfection? If you want to be perfect, he said, take all your stuff, because he's a very rich man. He said, take all your wealth, and he said, sell it, liquidate everything, and then give all the funds to the poor, and take up your cross. And it's going to hurt. You're going to have to sell the jet ski. You're going to have to sell the home. You're going to have to sell the trailer. You're going to have to sell these things and then give it all away. It's a cross. It's a cross. Yeah, I understand that. But take up your cross, and here's the real exciting part, and follow me. Follow me. That's the exciting part. You can follow Jesus. You can follow God. Oh, hallelujah. And he's going to lead you and guide you through this life and guarantee you protection. He's going to guarantee you provision. He's going to take care of you. You become his responsibility when you're following him. You become his responsibility. My life is his responsibility. I have absolutely no pressure at all. And I don't put pressure on people for anything because I'm totally his responsibility. Because I forsook this, I forsook that, I forsook this, I forsook that. He said, forsake it, I forsook it, I've let it go, I'm letting it go, here we go, I'm following you. I'm on the payroll. I'm one of his disciples. He's got to take care of me. I'm on the road with Jesus. Come on. And when you put yourself in a position where you are dependent upon it and you're not leaning on this thing over here and leaning on this person over here and trusting in this thing over here, and you just allow those things all to be kicked out from underneath you, where you're just leaning on the Lord. You're just dependent upon him. And there's going to be things kicked out from under you. Well, actually, it won't get kicked out. He's going to tell you to lay it aside. God doesn't kick, and this is another thing I want to get into real quick. God does not kick things out from underneath us. There's people that think that God is in the breaking business. He's in the business of breaking your outer man. Breaking your outer man. By setting up circumstances in your life, trials and tests, to just pound away at that outer shell to try to get you where you need to be. A lot of people think that, you know. They think, hey, God's working in my circumstances to try to break me. He's keeping this from me. He's keeping blessings from me. He's holding things back from me in order to make me dependent upon him, to make me lean upon him, to make me trust in him. God isn't in that business at all. He's not working in the outward conditions of your life to break your outer man. That's not how he works. God works from within. If he was to break you from without through circumstances, that would be oppression. That would be oppression. He doesn't oppress people. He blesses people. God is working to break the outer man with us from within so that we're not being oppressed from him or broken down. If you got things banging at you from without, it could break you down. Break down your health. God's breaking down your health to teach you that you need to depend on him. That sickness is from the Lord to teach you something. He's breaking you down. He broke your car down. He's breaking you down emotionally by ripping that relationship apart, see, because he wants you dependent upon. I've seen people say that. I've just gone through this terrible divorce because God wants all of me. Now, God didn't tear up the relationship because he wants all of you. That would be oppression. That would be breaking you down. God's not trying to break anybody down. He's trying to break us out. Which means what? He's working from within us. He's working from within us to help us to break out. Again, he's not kicking the things out from underneath us. He's working in us to get us to lay stuff aside and to step out by faith and trust him. So never confuse that. Well, this is happening because God must not want me to have that. What are you doing? You're judging according to the flesh. According to the outward man, you're judging your outward circumstances according to your outward man. You're not judging things according to the word, according to your spirit. You're not following your heart on this. Now look what it says over here in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Without fortune delight, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Somebody say, God's working in me. Not on me. Now, see, he's not on the outside beating us over the head. He's not trying to change us from without. God's changing us from within, which means our will is involved in it. Our cooperation is involved. Our faith is involved in it. We've got to believe in him, listen for him, yield to him, cooperate with him, and trust him. He's got something bigger and better. If he wants me to lay this aside, then he's got bigger and better things. That means it only means he's going to bring me into bigger and better. More of this abundant life that he has for me. Can't sit here and say, well, this didn't work out, so it must not have been God's will. That's satanic. That is doctrines of demons. This didn't work out, it must not have been God. No, you must be carnal. You must just be operating completely out of your reasonings, out of your head. You're not listening to your heart at all. Now, I just had a whole series of things happen a week or two ago. I mean, it was one thing after the other. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. And there were some crazy things that happened. It started on Sunday. It flowed into Memorial Day. And I mean, it just kept going. And I mean, Memorial Day was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it was just one thing happened. I went, well, that's too bad. That's lousy, you know. It's too bad that happened. And then, bang, a second thing happened. And bang, a third thing happened. And then immediately right after that, bang, a fourth thing. Now, one was really like, that's really too bad that that happened. And then now I had just slammed the form. None of it made sense. I come home and more things. You know, my fish are dead in my fish tank. And I mean, it's just some things you'd think, well, it's not very important, but it's just one thing after the other. It was the craziest thing. And then Tuesday, it was like I had all this opposition against me. And the devil's just trying to tell me the whole time. He said, you're cursed. You're under the curse, man. You're under the curse. And he's even quoting scripture from Malachi to me, where the Lord said, I've already cursed your blessings. You know? And I got, it looks like I'm cursed. It absolutely looks, it's like, this is a curse. One thing after the other happens. This is a curse. And then I got scripture coming at me saying, yeah, you are cursed. The Lord, look, it's right here in Malachi. I've cursed your blessings. And it just got Tuesday. Then Wednesday. Wednesday was the real, it was funny. I'm getting ready for service, you know, in the afternoon, putting some great things together. The Lord's given me notes, you know. I got all these notes together in my computer. And all of a sudden, my computer goes nutty. And it looked like it had all the symptoms of a crash. I mean, the screen went black. I mean, it just went like this. It's crashing. You're not going to get any of your notes. It's over. You've wasted your time. It's done. And church is about to start. So I'm looking at this computer crashing, and the devil's like, I told you, you're cursed. You're cursed. God's already begun to curse your blessings. It's right in the Bible. And I just rose up, and this whole thing's happening with my computer. I just rose up, and I said, you know what? I'm going to have peace and joy whether this thing crashes or not. And what was really cool is all these things happened. I never lost my peace. I never lost my joy. I had a smile. In fact, one guy looked at me when he saw these four things happen in a row. He looked at me and he was just puzzled because I'm smiling. As it was before, taking all the trash, you know, everything. He looks at me. He said, I admire your courage. He didn't know what else to say. I was like, yeah, well, you know, praise the Lord. What? Because my joy and peace is not in those things. The joy and peace is in Jesus. He taught me that years ago. If you don't have joy and peace, it's because you're not leaning on him. Because in him is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. There's peace and joy all the time. I got news, there's peace and joy in Jesus all the time. It don't stop. No matter what goes on in the world, Jesus has still got peace and joy. So what are you depending on? What are you leaning on? What are you trusting in? Who is your hope? Who is your happiness? Come on. Gotta be Jesus. If it's Jesus, then praise God, we'll get through this. I don't understand why this stuff happened, but I know I'm not cursed. Why? Because he's blessed me. How do you know that? It's according to the inward man. I don't judge myself based on my circumstances. It don't matter if everything burns down, falls apart like Job. I mean, it could get as bad as Job. And bless ask God, you still could stand there in the ashes and say, glory to God. If God be for me, who can be against me? Let's start rebuilding. Right? Because we know even with Job, it wasn't God. It was the devil, wasn't it? It was the devil. And he had gotten access into Job's life, which we can't get into tonight. How that all happened. But it doesn't matter what's falling apart around you. What's going on the inside of you? What's going on? And there's some things you don't know. Even the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, in fact, we'll just look at it really quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. He's like, we're perplexed. I don't have a fog. Why in the world is this happening? But you got to watch about staying over in the why is this happening, because the devil will fill in the blanks for you. He'll give you 10 reasons why it's happening, and none of it's God. And he'll even throw scripture in. See, I'm out looking for scripture to confirm my circumstances. I'm looking for scripture that confirms what's in my spirit, what's going on the inside of me. It's the spirit and the word that connect and agree together, not the flesh and circumstances and the word. So he's perplexed. He's perplexed. He doesn't know why it's happened. Why? I know why. I just preached the gospel and I just got beat up. But if you stay over here and I don't know why, you're doubting him. You're doubting. Jesus already told you why. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're dealing with people too, by the way. Right? Thank God you're perfect. And you don't cause yourself any problems, thank God. But there's other people that'll cause you problems. We all know that. Right? It just is. It's the way it is. They have a free will. That's why. Why are they being allowed to do this? Because they have a free will. They're not robots. But you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. I mean, thrown in prison. I mean, stoned to death. But they raised him from the dead. He was all right. Wasn't he? He came through it. Thank God he came through it. So he says, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in, I'm not depressed over this. I'm not, you know, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. You start, why? You get anxious. Next thing you're going to be depressed. And now you're not in faith. And you're just sitting out there getting smacked around by the devil. Don't let that happen. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Praise God. I've been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I can get up again. Doesn't matter how hard they slapped me, knocked me down. Thank God you can get up again. Come on. Sometimes you just got to look at the devil and say, is that your best shot? Huh? Sometimes you just got to look at him and say, I'm standing now. Bible says, a righteous, and I quote this to the devil, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but rise again. That's the devil's nightmare. And you got to let him know that. No matter how many times, you can get knocked down, but you're not knocked out. We'll just get up, we'll grow, we'll get smarter. Just like a good boxer. Right? Just like a good boxer. You can take some shots. You don't go in the ring expecting not to get hit. You might get knocked down, but you could still become great in boxing. Right? You can get knocked down, you can get even knocked out, but bless God, you can recover and go back in there again. And reclaim the title. Come on, we're champions. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. We're going to win, baby. God's leading us. We're going to win this thing. We're not going to judge ourselves according to the flesh. We're not going to react to what the devil's doing. Sometimes you got to look at the devil and say, I'm not impressed. There's been plenty of things. There's been symptoms in bodies. There's been all kinds of things happen, and you just stop and say, I'm not impressed. You're defeated. You're under my feet, and I got the victory. You're going to the lake of fire. I'm going to heaven. You're depressed, and I'm happy. I rub it in. Amen. This is the attitude of faith right here. Always carrying about, watch verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. See, there's things that, according to the natural man, the outward man, we're dying to things. We're dying to things. We're giving up things. We're laying things aside. But that sounds depressing if you stay there. He didn't finish the sentence. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Hallelujah. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's the flesh you have now. How many want the life of Jesus manifested in your flesh? We're talking about the life of Jesus here. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about abundant life. We're talking about the God kind of life. That's what could be manifesting in your flesh. And people are forfeiting the life of Jesus manifesting in their flesh for some stupid little thing in the flesh.
I gotta have it. I can't let go. I wouldn't know what to do without it.
And their little dependency has put a spiritual ceiling over their life that they can't break out of. And that life remains contained on the inside of them. And they're just wrapped up in this outward shell, this outward life. And it's shallow. It's shallow. But we want the life of God to spring up. Come on. We want the life of God to spring up. We want the life of Jesus to be manifested in our body. More of him in our mind. My God. His peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You can walk around totally doped up on Jesus. Huh? Drugs? What, are you kidding me? I got Jesus, dude. I'm happier than you can imagine. People do you wrong. You go, hey, bless you, brother. Can I buy you a Bible? Another round of Bibles for these people right here. Come on. Intoxicated. He said, Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is a waste of time, dissipation, debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Proverbs 15:15 declares, he who's of a merry heart has a continual feast. I said a continual, that's an unceasing feast. You need to have yourself a feast, praise God, in the morning. You need to have a feast in the afternoon. You need to have a feast in the evening. You need to go to bed happy and full of joy, knowing you got the victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You can have joy coming up out of the inside of you. When you got depression all around you. You got depression all around you. Margaret's depressed. Huh? The kids are depressed. Everybody's depressed. And you're just joyful. Because you're plugged into something. You got something on the inside that's greater than what's on the outside. And you've depended on it now. You've built your life around it. You're trusting in it 110%. You're giving your all to it. And now it's given its all to you. No matter what's going on in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is there. Peace is there. Joy is there. Contentment is there. Not a worry in the world. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Can laugh right in the face of devastation and disaster. Just laugh right in the face of it. Laugh right in the face of it. Say, ha, 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 ha. God is for me. Praise God. I'm trusting Jesus. To be anxious, to be depressed, is to be reacting from the outer man according to the outward conditions of things. And that's just being satanic. That's the kind of thing Satan inspires. He's mindful of the things of the flesh. He's mindful of the things of men. It's time to lay that all aside and say, no, praise God. There's no price too high for me to pay to have this eternal life. I will lay it down. Come on. I'll do it. Praise God, I'll do it. And you know, like I've illustrated in my own personal life, the pain never lasts long. I mean, it can be deep and painful as this thing's being rooted out of you. Your dependency on this thing, your joy and peace that's in this thing, it's like it's being pulled up out of you. And that's like, oh, yeah, wow, hallelujah, I feel good, I feel good. I'm telling you, it's just like that. It's like, oh, I'll do it, God, I'll do it. I don't know what in the world that thing ever had over me. Why in the world did I let that thing control? Then you look back and go, what in the world? What was I thinking? But before then, it was your world. It was your dependency. You loved that thing. You had to have that thing. Now you're free of it. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Walk through the door. Praise God. Walk through the door. I bet you there's some of you here, you got a door to walk through here. And you keep coming up to that door, and it's like, oh, 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 oh. You do the little Michael Jackson back, you back away from it, you know. It's like you walk up to it and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Just not today, yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, yes, Lord, yes. Just not today. Just not today. Not today. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lord. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. The sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be obedience. So lift up your chin and grin and say, tomorrow. Tomorrow turns into 19. No, we're in the 20s now. 20,016. Tomorrow, 20,017. Tomorrow, 20,018. 20,019, you're dead. You might as well die, because if you're not going to obey him, what good are you here? Lose your life. Lose the real life. If you're not going to lose that life, you're going to lose this other life. It's amazing how a painful word like this can bring such joy. Only the anointing could do that. The Lord is so funny. He's so funny. He loves you so much. He says, okay, Stevie, here, I'm handing you the laughing gas. You've been really hitting them with the nails. They're feeling the nails. Come on, give them another dose. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom ting, ting, that tomorrow there'll be joy. Ting, ha, 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 ha. This is funny, Pastor. You almost got me totally up there. Talking about taking up your cross and following him. Hallelujah. You might as well laugh. It's the greatest thing in the world. Praise God. See, Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. If you just think about sacrifice and giving up, that's all that pastor ever talks about. At least it feels that way to me. If you just focus on that, then it's painful. You just agonize. You're just in pain. No, you got to think beyond the cross. Think beyond the cross. Think to Pentecost. Glory to God. Think beyond the sacrifice. I laid it all down for Jesus. Well, dear Lord, pick up on the blessings. Because that's, if we really lay things down, that's what we're receiving. We're following him. And it's a joyful journey. It's a joyful journey. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God for the Christian life. Have people enjoy the Christian life. Let's just go further. Why don't we just go further into it? Huh? I really believe the Spirit of God's telling us now. Come on. Come on up higher. Let's go Life of Faith Bible Church. I got bigger things for you. Let's go on into the bigger. Let's go deeper into this thing. Into this absolute fullness of life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Say I'm breaking through the door. Going on into the more. See, it's for the joy that's set before you. It's what you, so don't focus in on the cross. Focus in on the resurrection. If Jesus just focused on the cross, he never would have made it. But thank God he kept his eyes on the resurrection, and now the cross is gone, and I mean, that's way past him now, and now he's got all of us. Hallelujah. He's got all of us. Glory be to God. Get to spend all eternity with him. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.